Right, let's move to the one that's been prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Look at your Bibles and go all the way with me to John chapter 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John chapter 8. So we're looking at spiritual compass, is that correct? And we started that when on Wednesday. Is that correct? We started on Wednesday. Has this one not? I think it has. It has. It has. It has. It has. What can I use today? It has. Can I have what is? Can I use it like this? This one out. This one out. Okay. So let me just. If it's going to take your time, don't worry, I'll be fine. Okay, this looks like a brand. Oh, wow, I think I like this. Looks good. Just that I cannot open the Bible and hold the iPad. Let's just go right. John chapter 8. Actually, it looks good, don't mind me. Yeah, look at John 8. Look, he says there. He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Let's put together 1, 2, 3, go. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So there is something that accompanies the man or the woman that follows Jesus. Right? It is that he, she, cannot walk in darkness, but they what? Shall have the light of life. Is it they shall have? Is that what you're about? They shall what? Have the light of life. So life, is it something you have as a believer, or is something you have because you follow? It's something you now have. Right? So it says, they shall not walk in darkness. So remember, it's in not something that should accompany the believer. Darkness is not something that the believer should bask in. Darkness is not something that the believer should walk in. Right? So you see, that put me what? Walk in darkness. That's spiritual compass. Right? That's the series we're looking at right now. And one of the things we must always remember is that in the Christian faith, there are certain topics that we don't joke around with. There are certain topics that we teach consistently from time to time, over and over again. And one of such topics we've done as a church over the past years is the leading of the Spirit. We try as much as possible every year to teach around the leading of the Spirit. Why? Because it's important, right? You see, the leading of the Spirit is something that is so important for the believer that the believer ideally should not live a life on the earth without being led by the Spirit. So on Wednesday, we saw something on Wednesday, Romans chapter 18, verse 1, 14. So we started that exegesis from chapter 8, verse 1. Do you remember that teaching? Then we went through chapter 6. Before chapter 6, we went to where? Ephesians, right? Yeah. And here at it quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Right? We went through chapter 6 as well, when Paul says, create yourself that what? You are dead to sin. Remember, we're dead in sin, we are now dead to sin. Is that correct? So the believer is deep in sin. Am I okay? The believer is deep in sin, right? You've been redeemed. Thank you so much. The believer has been redeemed, right? And the believer is now dead to sin. Now, a lot of times, we struggle with whether the leading of the Spirit is, or how to base the leading of the Spirit. What do you mean? We find ourselves in a generation where people begin to use a lot of assumptions to know if God is leading them. So, for instance, you go out on the streets, for instance, tomorrow, and you want to get married. I say, any brother that smiles at me, Is that how you are led? Right? See, any sister, any brother looks at me and smiles. If that sister should smile, then that means God is saying something. Are we together? Right? You see, if that brother should just give me a smile, that's God. You know, more often than not, you feel that kind of brother sort of meets your standard, or that kind of sister sort of meets your standard to an extent. So there's something we're really looking for that you saw, that the smile just sort of affirms to you. You know, so people say, Lord, if I get this job, it means you are leading me there. You know, the truth is, you don't, you know, ideally, right? Your decision on the job you take, right, should be spirit-led. You know, you can actually get a job. I remember I gave a word of knowledge to someone in church, I think a couple years ago. No, 2 years ago, there, about 1 year ago. I was a word of knowledge. They had gotten a job, right? And it was juicy. And I said, don't go into that. Pray some more. I usually will not say that straight away, but you know, sometimes when pastor says, pray some more, it means you should take some time praying. You know, I've had people come to relationship counseling and say, this woman I want to marry. You know, with the enthusiasm they are trying to marry themselves, you cannot say no. You have to say, take some time in the place of prayer. Right? So I've given an instruction and sensitive enough, the person was able to acknowledge, you know, get it. And the person, you know, maintained the other job they were doing without switching to the other job. And guess what? It was less than 4 weeks, right? I think about 4 or 5 weeks thereabouts, right? From the commencement of the date they were supposed to start, the company laid off that entire team. So what would that have happened to the person? They would have left the former job, right? Started a new job and be, don't say it that way. I carry their CV back to the former job. I say, please, we are here. Dig this pit for me. Right? You say, we are here. We've come back. Or we are not. I just wanted to test the waters. You know, as a believer, it's better that you are led by the Spirit. You can know that ahead. Right? Yeah. You say, Spirit of God, should I wear this clothes? Should I wear that? You know, there's some things that you will need to ensure that you settle in your mind first. Right, as a believer, so we find ourselves in a generation where Christians are using circumstances to determine the leading of the Spirit. And one of the things believers must know is that the believer is not led by opportunities. Amen. The believers are people that should not be led by opportunities. Which means, person taking that job, for instance, is somebody led by an opportunity. The wind blows up, you think that's the best time to jump in front. Right? And this one, by the Spirit, we can see ahead and know that, no, that's not the place to be. Right? So people now begin to understand the leading of the Spirit by physical circumstances. If they don't have to go to the airport today, right? That means God doesn't want me to fly. Right? You don't have to get to the airport to know that a plane might have an issue. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? You don't have to go to the bus station and say, if I go to the bus station today, right? And the bus does not come. More often than not, the bus is going to come. As long as you're in this environment, is that correct? The bus is going to come, right? So if I get to the bus station and there's no bus waiting for me there, it means that God does not want me to go on that bus, you know? Sometimes it can even be as basic as, you know, you apply for a job, they didn't pick you. You now say, because they didn't pick you, God is leading you away to another job. If God was leading you, you didn't need to apply for that job. You see, you know, some people, you know, why do Christians always like to explain things away? You know, if you have an issue, right, or you have a fault at something, one of the safest things to do as a human being is to own up to it, right? Or if you think I'm better in something, for instance, somebody gets a job and loses the job, for instance, and after they lost the job, they're saying God was saving them from a toxic company. What do you mean by God? I mean, God was saving you from a toxic person. Are you with me? God was saving. God was saving me from the toxic. I just say that God, you know, for the plan He has for me, they have good and all of you to bring it to an expected end. You know, God has three rules: the good will, the good will, the permissive will. You know, how does Romans say? Good, acceptable, and perfect. Right? You see, you have an issue. Your relationship does not work into leading to marriage. He said, God was saving me from a tyrant. I mean, you are the tyrant. God was saving me, son. See, a Christian is the one of the company. And he said, anybody that is lazy, God, don't bring them close to marry. Now, you did not have I employ you. You're not the cause of confusion with things of God. You know, See, if things don't always work out, you see, I have taught you before, I did it for the Faith and Follow series. Accept it. Not everything will go as you planned. It's only a prideful person that expects everything to revolve around them. Get a job, you didn't get a job. What about the jobs you've gotten that you were qualified for and those you got that you were not qualified for? It's a combination of so many things. So you don't have to say, ah, if I get going as I'm going for this interview, Lord, please to me that I would no. The people should only be able to hear God's voice from within around decisions, around opportunities. There are opportunities that happen wrong, so the brain you have to turn down, right? Because it's not only that opens door. Hallelujah. They say every door that opens is God. That's not true, right? It's every door. Sometimes, a lot of times, people get themselves to leave their place of their home country, as you call it, right? Because of all opportunities that come around, right? Oh, I do masters, so that means God is leading me. That's not always true. I think getting masters that you are being led, yes, but it's not always true that by default, because you got the admission, sometimes the opportunities come to you and you need to be sensitive enough to know which one is of God and which one is not of God. Because there are master opportunities you open up to and you get yourself involved with and delays you from things of God for years. And things that affect you, affects your children and your generation. Think about the impact of my father's life in my life and the impact my father's life is going to have on my children and on everyone who is here. Imagine if my dad was not led as much to have started what he has started at the time he did. We're together, right? Imagine if we were not led enough as a church for us to start a work in the UK at the time we did, right? Because the most favorable thing for us was not for me to be in the UK. Yeah, I'm just coming around to be arranging microphone and be carrying cable up and down. Yeah, in Abuja church, we don't do that at all. You can come to church 5 minutes before service, put on all the sockets you want, and you commence your church service. Right? So, starting a church in the UK was not because, there's a window of opportunity. No, that's not how the believer is led. In fact, I struggled a lot to accepting that, the Spirit of God has said to me through about three different people, all of them had said that God will have you leave your comfort zone. It took me months to understand that the leading of the Spirit was for me to leave my comfort zone. So it means, leading of the Spirit will not always come with comfort. Right, it's here, no, don't look at my face. The leading of the Spirit will not always come with comfort. Please write it down, put asterisk there. Yeah, and I remember that precious brother, he had said, that God will have you leave your comfort zone, right? And do the things he has put and laid on your heart. Because in a few months, a few years from time, if you don't do what he has asked you to do, you will see somebody just rise up from the back of the bush and run with that thing which God has asked you to do. And he said, you will look at the person and be saying, that was supposed to be me. That was one out of three. So we are not people who should be led by opportunities or led by together, right? It's good for the Holy Spirit to come with comfort, yes, but it will not always come with comfort. It's come with comfort. There will be days you will break out of your comfort zone. There will be days you would have to do some things that are not convenient for you because you are the voice of God. So obedience is to be aligned with comfort. Right? In two jobs, one has a times two the salary, right? And you say, God, for he knows the plan he has towards me now. They are good, not of what evil now, right? And you now quote different scriptures and mix them together, right? Just because you want to say to your mind that this is the one that God is leading me to. It's not always going to be like that. And that's why the believer was sensitive enough to know how to interpret the leading of the Spirit. Not believer lacks the light of God. Not believer lacks the leading of the Spirit. But believers lack the interpretation of the leading of the Spirit. I'll see you another time. Believers do this meaning of the Spirit. Believers lack the inbreaking of the Spirit. Believers lack how to interpret the meaning of the Spirit. Yeah? So you must learn to acknowledge that the Spirit of God is leading by default and to interpret the meaning of the Spirit in every action, every decision you take. Yeah? You don't always have to interpret it to suit your mind. Like I said, not everything will go as you would ideally want it to go. Right? Well, somebody was in a car, for instance, and they had an accident. And their conclusion from that accident was the fact that God was saving them from a further accident at the front. You know what I'm like? You don't always have to explain things away. You know, God can lead you so much that you are not sensitive enough to know. And when you actually, we're going to talk about leading the Spirit in three different aspects. One of them is the inward witness. You know, there are promptings and nudges you have in your heart that you are supposed to act on. And if you don't act on, you see the repercussions sooner or later. And when you see it, you just tell yourself, you know, one of the best things to say to yourself is, I missed it. Sometimes you don't need to allow someone to tell you that you missed it. You need to come and just say, and I had the prompting to do that. And I had the prompting to do that. I'll give an example of a day, for instance, where I just had the prompting to just send money to an evangelist somewhere in West Africa. Right? And I just sent the money, the exact money, and I just got a message like 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I just sent your account number. Guess what? He was at the point of taking his daughter to the hospital, right? And they did not want to attend to the daughter because he could not afford to pay a certain amount. You know, that's the practice in some places, right? You must pay the money full before they attend to you. And I just prompted that, got that prompting in my heart, and I sent the money. Do you know that the exact money I sent to him was what he was looking for to pay for the daughter? That's not coincidence. That was the first time I sent it. For me to be asking what's your account number, it means I've not sent him money before. And from the blues, he just flashed. There are people that God, you know, there are some needs that you're supposed to have met, but other people are not yielding to the Spirit of God. Are you here? Let me also say it differently. There are other people who their needs are supposed to be met through you, but are not yielding. It's not only you. There are other people who God has laid on your heart. Take this and minister this to this person. You don't have, I've had situations like that severally. I have situations where I'll just pick my phone, for instance, I just give a call to someone randomly. And they'll say, but we're literally just talking about you. Right? I'll have situations where, you know, different things will just happen for whatever reason. But the laying of spirit in the heart of a believer is something that you need to act on immediately as fast as possible. If you don't act on the inner spirit, you can detour away from life and it will cost you years to come back to where you're coming from. You know, the children of Israel, the distance between where they were going to and where they were coming from shouldn't have taken them more than 100 days, ideally, based on statistics. How many years did they spend? 40 years. Yeah? Are we together? Then eventually, what happened? So you can lose the prompting of the spirit by one disobedience. And eventually, you're supposed to get from point A to point B. Because of your disobedience, you will go all the way through all the points, but you might eventually still get there. But imagine what you would have lost. Sometimes what we call supernatural speed or supernatural help, right? Sometimes it's just because you obeyed God's voice on the spot. Because you obeyed God's voice on the spot. So you don't use circumstances to determine how God is leading you. Don't use unfortunate circumstances to determine God's leading. If someone broke your heart, they broke your heart. Is what it is. Yeah, I understand there are situations where someone breaks your heart and obviously God is, you know, but the truth is, you don't have to get to the point before someone breaks your heart before you know God is separating you from the person. You know that the Spirit of God will prompt in your heart decisions you should make. Some of us, because we are starting learning sound doctrine and learning God's word, we say God's word is final. Blah, 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 blah. You think you can behave anyhow and just do anything and go away from the repercussion of those things. It's not always like that, though. Yeah? Before you go into a relationship, what is wrong in you praying? Yeah? What is wrong in you praying? What is wrong in you, you know, ensuring that you are led in your decision? Because, you know, the person you marry can make or mar your lineage. Not your family, your immediate family, your lineage. The person you marry can make or mar your lineage. And you know, that kind of marriage, more often than not, we teach it as you enter. No. It's already. Is that how we deal with marriage? Yeah, once you enter like this, so you now find people who are entering into situations, they cannot even ask for help. Why? Because they believe that they have to keep a front. You know, no, people cannot determine, people cannot, no. We did not say I'm not patient. But the truth is that if we're patient enough from the beginning, there were things you might have known. Altogether. So you don't allow opportunities, don't allow circumstances be your conclusion from the interpretation of the leading of the Spirit. One of the greatest advantages a believer can have is the ability to interpret the leading of the Spirit. I'll say it one more time. One of the greatest advantages a believer can have is the ability to interpret the leading of the Spirit. God has not programmed the life of the believer to be a life of guesswork. Yeah, it shouldn't be a life of guesswork. Yeah, you know when we used to grow up, there's something we used to do. Is it any mini manimo? Is that what it's called? Is it mini mini manimo or any mini? Any mini manimo? Yeah, any mini manimo. Father had a donkey. Father cried, daughter cried. I know you all will be Ekiti version. You know, we have to be Ekiti version. Mother cry, father cry. I've never heard that version before. Any mini manimo. Father had a donkey. Eh? Yeah, I trust your own more. Anything you say, God bless you. Right? You don't use that for decisions. You put one job, you put the name of the company's paper, you squeeze it. You put another company's name, you squeeze it. Any mini manimo. Then Yoruba people will say, tubu tubu tas, and you know how to allow that kind of song to end on the one you want. You know the job that is on the right, 50,000. You know the other one that is on the left is 100,000. You will finish the syllables of this song to ensure it ends on the 100,000 one. So even if you say, this was supposed to end, though. You now do pum pum pum. Why? You now open, you say 100,000. I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. You don't allow circumstances, opportunities to influence how you interpret the leading of the Spirit. Very, very important. Don't allow your emotions interfere in your interpretation of the leading of the Spirit, because more often than not, we get to suffer for it. So God doesn't expect that we guess our way through life. We are not orphans. We are people who have a father. God is our father. We looked at those series throughout the last few weeks, right? We have our father who is our redeemer. We have a father who has made us righteous. He has forgiven us of our sins. So he's our guide. What other name can we give the Holy Spirit? Can we say helper? Spirit of God is our helper, is our guide. Say, the Spirit of God is my guide. The Spirit of God is my helper. Spirit of God is my teacher. So the goal of the Spirit is to lead your path. You know, we saw that on Wednesday. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Now, we looked at the Greek word for the word led there to be agio. And we said that in its real sense can be interpreted as a movement from point A to point B. So Colossians will now let you see that we have, as he transformed from darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, kingdom of his light. That in his real sense is a leading. But in that leading, we said on Wednesday, comes the leading of the Spirit. So God has led us into his kingdom. In that leading into his kingdom comes the leading that is continuous. So God does not expect that a believer is without help at any point. That's why you always need to remind yourself and remind yourself every time, I'm not without help. I'm never without help. Right? You say a crossroad. You say, what is happening? You say, I'm confused. No, don't use your words to put a reality up on your mind. Yeah, you don't have to say, I'm confused. What about, I'm never stranded? You know, your response to situations will make you come out of that situation faster or slower. So there are things you will say to yourself in a situation that will make you wallow more in that situation. You get to a crossroad, you say, oh no, I'm never stranded. I'm never without help. Right? You say that confidently. I'm never without help. I'm never without help. The Spirit of God leads me directly. The Spirit of God leads my path. Right? The Spirit of God holds my hands and takes me through situations, through seasons. That's the only way the believer can make the best of life. We are on the advantage as believers because of the Spirit of God. We're on the advantage as believers because of the Spirit of God. Right? There are certain things that you will just need to ensure that you are keen to or you obey to. John 10:27, what does it say? My sheep what? They hear my voice and I know them, and the what? Follow me. So my sheep hear my voice. Regardless of the hearing or not of the sheep, does God speak? So God is always speaking and God always has a voice. But the problem is, are the sheep listening? All together. Yeah? Are the sheep? I know, growing up, they've taught us the disparity between sheep and goats. Are we together? Sheep and goats usually look alike. Is that correct? Body stature, maybe color might be different. Some even have familiar colors and like. But the truth is that a sheep is the one that listens to the voice. That is why the Bible uses sheep to teach about the relationship with the shepherd. Because ideally, a sheep is one that should be able to hearken to the voice and know the voice of the Lord. The question is, how well do you know God's voice? Can you get into a situation and say, God said to me that I should do this? And you know, when you say those kind of statements, you must ensure that you are ready to stand with repercussion. Amen. You know, God can say you should go to the right, right? And you go to the right, start seeing people are now stoning you, you quickly roll to the left. But if you are one who is very convicted about what God has said to you, you go to the right, and once you're walking, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, is that correct? You are going through the path that God has led you on, because you are rest assured that God's leading will not always come with comfort. God's leading does not always mean that there will be no opposition. In the leading of the Spirit, you will encounter opposition. You will encounter people that will be torn in the flesh to you. You will encounter people who would want to stand on your way, right, to make you doubt the voice of the Lord. But guess what? Stay with the voice of the Lord. That's why we always say, Pastor Chris, we usually say, yeah, if you stay with the word of the Lord enough, you would always come back with a testimony. The testimony is not necessarily about the fact that you saw prosperity or financial increase in your life. The testimony is in the fact that you obeyed God. You see, the reward of obedience is in the fact that you obeyed, not the results you see. Oh, I got into a job. Before 2 weeks, they promoted me to program senior director. Does not mean you were let down. Doesn't always mean that. So results don't validate the words, the leading of the Spirit. All of us in our CV, result-driven data analyst with 25.5 years of experience. When they ask you, where did you get the experience? Say, well, you were in secondary school. You were analyzing data in the class. But you see, results are not always proof that you're in alignment to the will of God. Please know that. Results are not always proof that you're in alignment to the will of God. Sometimes results will come, sometimes results will not be what you expect. But the question is, the believer needs to reorientate their mind as to what is the understanding of results. What's the understanding of results? It's Psalm 119, verse 105. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Let's quickly turn there. Quickly. So what it says in verse 105? It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a what? A light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. What does lamp do? Lamp provides light. Okay? So what does the believer have? He that followeth me shall not what? Walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So does the believer have the lamp of God? Does the believer need the lamp of God? No. Does the believer have the lamp of God? The believer has the lamp, the light of God. But the believer, you know, darkness as it were, as a concept, does not exist. It is simply the absence of light. I cannot tell you shine darkness in this room. I can only tell you take light out of this room. So, you know, darkness can speak about chaos. Darkness can speak about unseemingly difficult situations. It could speak about anything, but you see, all you need in every situation is the lamp of God. What does the psalmist say? It says, thy word is a lamp. So it means fundamentally, God will lead us by his word. Fundamentally, God will lead us by his word. God will lead our path by his word. God will channel our course of our lives by his word. Very, very important. So, there are certain instructions that are already in the word. Imagine somebody wants to lie. And he now goes to the word and says, Lord, lead me. How do I construct this lie? You know, believers do it. Yeah? I just don't know how to go about it. You know, but I just feel, imagine somebody says, I was led to, you know, there was a conversation that I was having with somebody one day, a couple years ago. Listen, I said, you know how we used to teach all these things, this prosperity message now. And you know, and all, the Bible says all things are yours. Why? Because the father that owns the cattle of a canto, how many cattle did we even talk about on Wednesday? 1,000 cattle on 1,000, how many ewes? You shall know the number of ewes. The father that owns the cattle of 1,000 ewes is my own. I asked one person one question. I said one day, I said, at the point in our history from where I come from, which is Nigeria, we had a president who was involved in cattle. Amen. Yeah. Imagine you saw one on the road and just quickly You can't carry your Hilux. I quickly just took one and put inside your Hilux and zoom off. Why? He said, my father owns them all. You know where they will find you now? Yeah? They will first beat you there. You remember that you are fatherless on that matter, right? So another guy was saying, oh, all things are mine, all things are mine. I will see all things are mine. You know, God has made everything pertaining to life and godliness available to me. I just need my, you know, faith is the hand by which I receive. Faith is the hand by which I receive what grace has made available. So, am I a billionaire now? Yes and no. God has made billions available to me, but I need my faith to what? Tap. Why do we like plumbering terms like that? Into tap into, you know, I want to tap into the grace in your life. I want to tap into the anointing in your life. I understand the nomenclature we use really, but and I asked a quick question. And I said, if I made that statement, all things are mine, does that include your wife? Simple question. You know how you get a man, especially a man that loves his wife, is just tamper with the knowledge of the wife. I said, all things are mine. Is your car my car? If I came one day and I just, maybe I had your spec into your car, I just took your car and drove away. Police now caught me. They say, all things are mine now. But two of us, we agreed that all things are mine. They are both mine. They are yours. See, what does that really mean? It means that if you don't read the Bible very well, your interpretation of leading of the Spirit will be very wrong. Paul was saying in Ephesians, he says, let him that steal no more. Let him labor with his hand so he can have to give. So you cannot be led by the Spirit to steal. There are fundamental things. You see, let me tell you. I want to be very careless with my words now. Let's assume a man takes away the inward witness of the Spirit in the life, in his life. All he has in the world is enough to navigate his life. Did you hear what I said? Yeah? All he has, right, is enough in the world to navigate. So now imagine you have the word and you have the inward witness. What are you saying? Double what? Double advantage. Altogether. So there are fundamental things that are in the scripture, right? You know, I used to say this from a couple of years ago. I would say, God does not have to increase the volume of his voice. Please note this. Oh, God doesn't have to increase the volume of his voice. Man just needs to reduce the volume of the distraction. I'll say one more time. God doesn't need to increase the volume of his voice. Man only needs to reduce the volume of his distraction. God is always speaking. The problem is, we find solace in the chaos of life. So it makes it difficult to hear the voice, not because God is not loud enough, but because your heart is fully fixed on the distractions of life. I'll say one more time. God doesn't need to increase the volume of his voice. Man just needs to reduce the volume of their distractions around them. Very important. It's very easy for your man to get carried away by so many things, so many reports, so many results. And you know, a lot of times the things we give our mind to is what influences our minds and decisions when we are supposed to make decisions. Altogether. Yeah, you know, I've not spoken about this before, but I'll speak about it today. You know, there was a trending video of a speech that was made by the wife of someone who was martyred, you know, a couple of weeks ago, right? And she went on public air and she said, I forgive the person who killed my husband. Let me tell you only get there because you've reduced the distraction of this world, the volume of distraction of this world. Are you with me? You know, unfortunately, to see lots of believers who say, what kind of nonsense is that? Someone still fought me recently saying that the person asked a question about if this kind of person should be forgiven. And I say, forgive the person. That was my problem. So what should I now say? Forgiveness far from you. You know why we talk that way? Because we've increased the volume of chaos in this world. And if you allow your attention to be fixed on the chaos of this world, you will get what you deserve. You know what I just said? Is it easy to forgive? You know, some people, you don't know a lot of things until you are in a point where you have to forgive. Is it just say, no, I love you? You know the song we sing when we're closing service? I love you. You love me. Is that the song? I need you. Sorry, I say I love you. We all are part of God. We all are part of God's body. How can I not know this song? I sang this song almost every day in school then. Agree with me. We are. Our power is worthy. It is His will that every knee. You are important to me. I pray for you. I pray. Let me tell you, hold on, hold on. Song is sweet to sing. How you will know you pray for somebody is when the person upsets you, you still pray and you are crying in the place of prayer. You know, sometimes you'll be crying in the place of prayer and you are praying for somebody and you will soak in tears. You are crying, but you are praying on somebody who hurts you. It's the true level or true place where you know true forgiveness, true prayer. I pray for you. What is that? Why should I not pray for you? No, as it is, like you've no offense. Why should I not pray for you? Understand? Why should I not? It's really easy to pray. Until you find yourself, even next even use couple. Every morning you wake up joyful, 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 commit our attention, as do this. Until the day when you're supposed to do night devotion and morning devotion, maybe around 6 p.m., somebody does all this to another person, say it's time to pray. Not praying today, I'm not praying. Go and pray. Everybody should go and pray with their God this evening. Hope you don't do that here. Yeah, far from us. Instead, I say far from us. Far from us, may it be far from you forever. He went and said, it's time to pray. No, we just rest. Let's speak to God individually today. I have a nudge to fellowship some more. Yeah? And you know some of us will not carry that same magazine money. Morning devotion that is supposed to, God is supposed to meet you in your dream and minister to you in your dream. God will still minister to you in your dream. Wake up in the morning. It's time to pray. Our day is already committed. We are already in. God is already protecting us. We don't. Yeah? What am I trying to explain to you? It is in the day where your emotions are involved that you really know. Do you really mean the words you are saying? It is the day life seems difficult to you that you really know. Will you still go for evangelism? What's the song we sing? We are men set a course for Christ to do his spirit working in us, is fulfilling his desire. Men are saved, souls are won, the church is built. Hallelujah. Will you still feel that way the day you are hungry? It's not a question, it's not by saying yes, yes, yes. It's not a question you answer. Yeah, will you still feel men are saved, soul are won, the church is built? Hallelujah. Yeah, will you still maintain your devotion if you lose your job? Amen. Will you still maintain your devotion? Some of us say we lose our sleep once they even make so, if they sack somebody that is not even in your department. Somebody that is maybe you are in data, the other person is the engineering. What are they? Why are they sacking people in engineering? You will find in your heart to believe that data and engineering are linked. He's coming here. Oh, he's coming here. When I come to church, Pastor, Pastor, if you know what he's doing, Pastor, you say stay at home. When you maintain your sanity in the midst of chaos in life, like I said it over the weeks. Let me tell you, I know how well you give to the world when I see the things you complain about. It's not hard. I know how well you give your attention to the world when I see the things that are enveloping your heart. Right? Yeah? So, the fundamental way, always remember, thy word is a lamp to my feet. God's word is already there by default leading us. Yeah? For instance, one of the things you cannot be led to do, right? You cannot be led to say, I was led today to join church online. You led yourself. Do you understand? You know, I always tell you, some of us, we think we are going through a lot. You're not going through nothing. As long as everybody is here, all of you, I'm looking at you. There's none of you here. All of you. None of you are not going through anything. Nothing you are going through. I know you, sir. Even you, sir. That you are still smiling like this, sir. You are not going through, sir. You still wear your glasses. You are looking like you wear white. I saw my dear Z touch your clothes earlier. You were looking to that. You are not going through, sir. You are. Praise God, sir. Do you know people who are meeting in caves as we are talking now? You know, I always tell you a story of a church in China where the government has sent someone to come and spy on them and to give them information on how to attack them. What did the pastor say? Pastor came around and said, dear saints, our next meeting, you will know the time and the venue by the Spirit of God. A church. People who are going through, let me not rest on this thing again. Imagine pastor, you know, even as we are around, imagine I say next week we want to confuse the enemy. You will know where we are supposed to meet by this. Some of you will stay at home, you say it's online. You say no, no, I trust pastor. Pastor will just do microphone and put camera and he will just say we are George. We started yes in your pajamas. But they said, how do we know our next venue and location? Because we don't want the people to, you know, get us. And everybody met at the new location except one brother. Last. Yeah. The team casted by the Spirit. Are we together? Those are people who are going through. You know, there are parts of the world where they cannot carry Bible. Are you with me? I was talking with a missionary a few months ago. And he said they found a way to take devices to people loaded with God's word, because they cannot ship Bible to that location. Those are people that are going through. Yeah? Your manager just said that the document you did, you did not highlight it very well. You say, why will you be talking to me like that? Your manager just said, I some of us don't know how to receive feedback. Let me tell you, in life, learn to receive feedback. Anybody who cannot receive feedback cannot grow. And feedback will not always be palatable. I hope you know. It's not, I'm here to see somebody who likes feedback and I say, it just fits in my belly. It will always inject a lot into you. But you know, happy are you when you receive feedback? Are you able to allow that to manage or motivate how you can revolve or change your, a lot of times feedback is to make you better. I understand that there's something called constructive feedback. You know what they call constructive criticism, right? I'm trying to tell you, either they construct it, or they deconstruct it. Yeah, feedback is feedback. Always gauge yourself and ask yourself. So if your manager tells you that I don't like the fact that you submit deadlines late or submit document late, what should you say? Won't you say, who is it? Who is she to talk to me? And you know, feedback that might come like that might not come from somebody who is older than you. You know, that thing called age is a backward thinking, you know. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You know why? A lot of people are always very age-related. Age, I'm going to say this, going to bust your bubbles. Listen. Let me switch. I will say it again. But let me say this. I'll say this other part. A lot of people are very age-oriented because of how life has cheated them. So it is, how can this 20-year-old boy be my manager? The real problem is you are thinking within yourself. That when I was 20, what was I doing? So it is hot. You will not admit this to anybody. You know, you're like, you, I get four of you for us. You know, when you're from Nigeria, that's what you said. You, my younger brother's sister is older than you. Who are you to say my work is not clean? It's complex. It's complex. You know, some people say I cannot pastor them because I'm too young. Someone has said that. If someone has even said to me that I cannot be a pastor with one young man like this, bless his heart, say I cannot be his pastor because I'm not married. Yeah, you see, that is trauma. How did I say that? That's trauma. Can you see somebody cannot? The greatest voice you hear from the scripture in the New Testament church today is Paul. He didn't marry. The one who died for your sins is Jesus. He didn't marry. Let's not look for any other example. Those two are sufficient enough to let you know a man can be your pastor without marriage. He said, how will I give him counsel? Nobody spoke about marriage like Paul. Go and check the Bible. Nobody. And yet he counseled all of us. All of us are in the marriage. We are in the issue. He did not partake in the issue. He didn't partake in the issue. Check marriage is not issue. Marriage is issue. You just have to ensure your head just come down and go peace to reign. Are you together? I'm not talking to you. Me, I have issue. You think I don't have issue? No, that is unfair of you. You think too highly of me. I have issues. Not that you will not see the issue I have. My issue is for my bedroom. The man that did not partake in issue, he told us about our issue. Say, Pastor, you know, you're not married. You know, I'm not sure that, you know, I'll be able to stay. I know his name. I wanted to call his name now, but let me forgive you. I know that, you know, my eye has seen, you know. I know that, you know, this thing that is. So, what is that? How old is he, Seth? Before they gave birth to him, I was winning souls. You know, tomorrow, if Eric grows up, right, to become the pastor of this church, everybody ought to give him the honor scripture teaches that he deserves, which is double honor. It means you will honor Eric more than the way you will honor any other person, because Bible teaches honor for people, but teaches double honor for Eric. Well, imagine, you know, when my dad passed, you know what I'm saying is not joke, it's not fallacy. I said my dad passed and 99.9% of the church members left. Why? Because they saw me when I was small. I mean, I'm very troublesome. The day my dad passed, I call everybody. You were in church that day? I call everybody to the front. Come. Everybody come. Line up. I did it for my sanity. I said, now, my dad has passed. He's been Mr. Associate Pastor before he passed. If you think it's difficult to submit, the easiest thing for you to do is to look for your pastor. Right? Yeah, because I don't like unnecessary drama. Don't put drama on my area. Right? But why was it easy for them to make that decision? Right? Somewhere in their mind, they feel like I cannot be blessing to them. Right? Which might be the case. But the fact remains that it's trauma they are passing through. It's traumatic experience. And a young boy like this just come and take over the ministry like that and just say, and just telling us, lift up those hands. Lift up those hands. then us come to without saying please. Okay. And we just come and just be commanding us. Just say, make sure you're in church by see. Watch us, make sure. Can't you say kindly, gently, please? Kindly, gently, please, honorably. Be in church for the appropriate, you never say the time, for the appropriate timing next week, which you know. You know, so it's a difficult situation. So I'm also trying to say this, that the person that God will use to affirm the leading of the Spirit to you might not be somebody you like. You must find it in your place to deal with the issues you have, such that you are not prideful or proud to turn down what God or who God is sending to you. One of the easiest things to do in this life is to overlook the vessels that God has set or placed in your life. So I think I got to that point by just talking about the woman who forgave her husband, right? And not her husband, forgave the person who, until last night, till 11, 12 last night, I was still on the call, and I was saying on that call, I was like, if this woman can forgive this person, she's a worthy example of a believer. Do you understand that the people that killed Jesus, he was dying for them? What other example do we need? Do you understand? I'm saying the person that struck whatever nail flogged Jesus. And eventually, let's assume the man that gave the last stroke and Jesus, you know, gave up the ghost. That man was who Jesus was dying for. Are you with me? There is no way, no time. You see, let me also say this, please write this in your notes. One of the ways that it will make it difficult to interpret the meaning of the Spirit is when you have a lot of unforgiveness in your heart. An unforgiving heart cannot interpret the leading of the Spirit properly. Because unforgiveness is like a void, it's like a barrier, it's like a weight. An unforgiving heart cannot interpret the leading of the Spirit properly. Say one more time. An unforgiving heart cannot interpret the promptings and the leading of the Spirit properly. So let go of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, as it were, does not affect the person who hurts you as much as it affects you. You know now, right? I think that was quite a while ago, right? You know, something happened at home. I'm trying to remember the exact thing that really happened at home. You know, and me, because I had moved on, right? I slept like a baby. Right, but if eventually, you know, when you sleep as a baby, you don't know what's happening, right? But I'm trying to say, imagine if my wife, for instance, maybe an issue that happened, and my wife, for instance, could not forgive me, who lost their sleep? I mean, I'll still wake up and like my daughter, I'll do like this. Good day. Who does unforgiveness hurt the most? You know, unforgiveness is worse than the hurt that anyone brings to you. Yeah, unforgiveness is worse. So you see, in life, one of the things you will learn and learn effectively is how to forgive and how to let go. If you want to interpret the inner spirit more, you will need to learn how to forgive and how to let go. Why? Because unforgiveness has a way of toying with your emotions. And a lot of times, your emotion, you know, it's always bad to act out of emotions. All together. You know, sometimes people act out of emotion and eventually it now affects them down the line. Do you understand? There's something I will do to you now, for instance, that even if you forgive me, guilty conscience will still prick me. Do you understand? Let's assume we had an altercation, right? And for instance, you slapped me, right? If you slap me and I say, okay, I've forgiven you, that's fine. Do you know that it will be difficult for you to come close to me because guilt is dealing with you? So what have you done? You've acted based on your emotions, and your emotions has a way of haunting you. So if unforgiveness is in your heart, it means that can be tailored into your emotions and it can make you do things that will haunt you. So at in points where you are supposed to be interpreting the inner spirit accurately, you are missing the mark because your emotions are dabbled into all manners of things. Are you with me this morning? I hope you're learning something this morning. Go back to John chapter 8, verse 12 this morning. John 8, 12. He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Right? Shall have. So we saw that the word is a lamp unto our feet already. So it means that the believer needs to ensure that he increases his attention span towards the word. All together. I find it difficult to understand why a believer should be upset that another believer forgives somebody. Just sometimes you say, right, you hurt me, right? In the real sense, I forgive you. But she say, no, she cannot forgive you. And you know, I'm going to teach on something probably in the coming days to come, right? Forgiveness, as it were, obviously, would always, a lot, depending on the scenario, will require that there are boundaries. You get the point? Yeah? And that's life. Yeah? But the truth is, that true unforgiveness is something that must be hard. As a believer, it's something that the believer must ensure you are paying attention to. So the word is a lamp unto my feet. It is he that followeth me shall not, cannot walk in darkness, but has the light. So how well should we pay attention to God's word? Are we here in church? How well should we pay attention to God's word? Very well. Very well. Hallelujah. The assurance that Jesus gives us is that he's with us all through. Is that correct? So it means that we are led all through. Say, there is no day of my life that I lack the leading of the Spirit. Say, I'm led Monday. Say, I'm led on Tuesday. Say, I'm led on Wednesday. Say, I'm led on Thursday. Say, I'm led on Friday. Say, I'm led on Saturday. Say, I'm led on Sunday. Say, all the days of my life, I'm led by the Spirit. Say, all the days of my life, I have the light of God. Say, all the days of my life, I interpret the leading, the promptings, the nudges of the Spirit. So I'm not confused. I'm not confused. I'm not confused. You know, sometimes I get myself in situations, right? I get myself at point, and I'm like, no, I'm not confused. I know what to do. I know what to do. I remind myself, the wisdom of God is in operation in my life. The wisdom of God is working in my life. The wisdom of God is working in my life. One of the most difficult things I would always say to do is to lead people on account of the Christian faith, on account of Jesus Christ. Very complex. But guess what? When you have the prompting of the Spirit and you are easily obeying those promptings, it saves you from damage in the days ahead. It keeps your heart. It keeps your heart. It keeps your heart in perfect peace. Right? So, a light in the real sense. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 verse 3. Genesis 1 verse 3. And God said, let there be light. What was the light solving in Genesis chapter 3? Go to Genesis 3 quickly. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 1, 3. I'm sorry. Genesis 1, 3. Sorry. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 3. 1, 2, 3, go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Look at verse 3, 1, 2, 3, go. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. What was light solving there? Darkness. What is darkness? Absence of light. So, can we say absence of light means chaos? Can we say absence of light means there's a word called jaga-jaga? Yeah, you know the word called jaga-jaga? right? Can we say absence of light means, give another word, confusion, right? So it means that when it seems to, when the situation seems to be full of confusion, shine more light there. Because when light is introduced, confusion flees. When it seems like your day is full of chaos, it looks like your life is going, you know, on the path of trajectory full of lots of chaos and the like, what do? Shine more light on your heart. Then you'll find out that some things, even that you call chaos, is not really true chaos. Hallelujah. So light is the opposite of chaos. Light is the opposite of confusion. It's the opposite of darkness. So when you shine light in a place by default, what do you have? You know the road to go. Are you with me? So it's that direction. So what does light bring into chaos? Direction. So as a believer, when you keep saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. No, you are reaffirming to your mind that you are not acknowledging the prompting of the Spirit. You are acknowledging to your heart, to your mind, to yourself, that you are not acknowledging the light you already have. You know, some believers, they have light, but they're looking for light. Are we together? Are we together? You have light. You are looking for light. Yeah, nothing is as confusing as a human being who joins 3, 4, 5 different churches all in one day. That's chaos. That's what I'm going to say. It's chaos. And unfortunately, you now even find out that you are joining 4, 5, 3, 4 different services, and the emphasis of the 3 different 4 services are different. You say you want to be rounded. You are oval. You can't be rounded. Eh? First prayer meeting, 5 o'clock, you jump up. You join the meeting. YouTube. At least know where you want to be. Yeah? A lot of times, you are looking for something that is not lost. You know, sometimes, people lose out on what their local church is impacting on them because they have a divided attention. So it's easy to be looking for what you already have on your inside. You say, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. You know, that's what I always tell you as a pastor when I'm preaching a lot of times, right? Some things that are being said, right? They are based on the prompting of the Spirit. They ought to be viewed prophetically, right? Because it's your expectation that if you've prayed for your pastor before he teaches, then it means that God would have you in his mind to say things to you. It should not always be dramatic. Word of knowledge might not come with it. But the words that will be said a lot of times are meant to be prophetic, to minister to you at your immediate point of need. Imagine after God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God now said, I want to bring another light. We're saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel, right? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus, who is the image of God, to shine on their hearts. Verse 6 now says, for God who commanded what? Light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts the light of his glorious gospel. So in the real sense, what needed light on the earth? The heart of man. So when the Bible says darkness upon the face of the deep, who is the Bible describing? Man. So mankind was full of darkness and mankind needed light. So can a man who has the light of God still behave outside of conduct or outside the conduct of the light of God? Yes. What's the problem? It is because he's not paying attention to the leading of the Spirit, or paying attention to the word, or paying attention to interpreting the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So light is the opposite of chaos. Right? So let me ask you a question. If an unbeliever needs light, does God give the unbeliever light? If an unbeliever needs light, does God give the unbeliever light? Unbeliever. They need to receive God's light. They need to tap. It's available, right? So if a believer is born again, and he says, if an unbeliever who is born again, what does the unbeliever receive when he's born again? Light. Can we say the Spirit? So, can we say the Spirit that is received is the light of God? So, the Spirit of God in the mind of a man or in the heart of a man is the candle of God? Is that correct? So, is that the light that believer needs forever? So, can that light be dimmed?
The light cannot be dimmed.
Some of a lie. I love the word amplify. You like amplified version, huh? Yeah. Yeah. So can that in itself be deemed? Okay. And this, we just said the light is the spirit. Can the spirit of God in that man, can the occupancy of that spirit be increased? Okay. Hey, I'm prepared a coin. He started from the back. Next is Brother Akurakosi. We'll see here one big grammar now. We are waiting. Okay. Can a believer, right, lose the spirit of God? No. Can a believer gain more of the spirit of God? No. Can a believer gain more from the spirit of God? Now. So can the spirit be occupied in a larger capacity? Yes and no. No, in the fact that this indwelling of the spirit is permanent forever, no increase, no decrease. But the quenching of the spirit has to do with activities around the interpretation or the promptings or the moving of the spirit. So what's the first question I ask again? Can the light be dimmed? So the light, as it were, cannot be dimmed. But the people are not even interested people, right? So the light cannot be dimmed, as it were, but the functionality, the visibility, the interpretation, the consequences, right? The what? So that means he didn't go this way, he came like this. He didn't go like this, bruh. See, they jump, you jump and pass. And he came this way, he's going this way again. He's going like this. Okay, he jumped all of you. Hallelujah. So it means that the believer needs to be very sensitive about the spirit of God they have on their inside. Because you can have the spirit of God and act like one who doesn't have the spirit of God. Yeah? You know, so when Paul says, quench not the spirit, you know, like I said before, that word there has to do with fire. Quench not the spirit's fire. We speak about your devotion, your consecration. Quench it not. That means there are things you can do to suppress the influence of the spirit. But there's nothing you can do to suppress the occupancy, the spirit of the self, as it were. Right? So the believer, the believer is one who light has shone in your heart. It means you have all the light you need. So does the believer need more light? No. The believer does not need more of the spirit of God. Right? So you see that song, I want more of you. You must sing that song in the context of what you are communicating. I want more of you cannot mean I want more of the Spirit of God in me. But the next line qualifies the song, the more I know you. So it means the more of you is having a lot to do with influence, interpretation, knowledge of that Spirit. So I want more of you is a bad song. It can't be a bad song because your next line qualifies the statement you are singing. You know the song now? You make my life so beautiful. And as you are, you have made me your net. There is nothing greater than this. And that's why I love you forever. I want all of you. So if we change that song to say, I have all of you, Jesus, the more I know you, the grammar will collide. You know what I say? The more I have you, the more I want to have you. Yeah, the focus of that singer, I would assume, is more about the knowledge. That's why Peter will say, grow in grace, which is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace. So you can grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Right? You can grow in it. That means it's expected that 1 year from now, 10 years from now, when you look at your spiritual growth in knowledge, it must be measurable. There are things you will know that, oh, I couldn't yield to the Spirit of God at this time of my life, but I can do it now better. That's growth. Not because the Spirit of God increased in you, but because you allowed your heart to tune less to distraction and tune in more to God's word. So, does any believer lack direction? Can believers look as though they don't have direction? Yes. Why? They are not paying attention to the lamp that is in the word by default. Altogether. So, if darkness was upon the face of the earth, we said that's chaos. What other word do we call chaos? We said confusion. That's, yeah, we said confusion. Can we also call it disorder? So it means that when you find yourself in a position of disorderliness, you need to what? Shine more of God's light. Not that you are increasing the volume of the light, but you are ensuring that you are sensitive. You know what they call radio frequency? You know, right now, radio frequencies are working. What do you need to do? Tune in. Your action or your inaction does not reduce the voice of the man or the woman casting the news right now. Altogether. But your action or inaction can determine what you will do with that news. Hallelujah. So God's word is already communicated by default. God is always speaking. You see, God is a talking God. Hallelujah. God is always talking. The question is, are you tuning in enough? You know, if they were given a news, for instance, and they said that nobody should go through the A720 for the next 10 minutes, right? And you eventually, because you're not tuned in, what did you do? You found yourself on A720. Whose fault is it? It's not their fault. It's your fault. So you must learn to take full responsibility for repercussions you make when you untune or not tune to the voice of God. You know what I just said? You must learn to take full responsibility. I know the funny thing about God, God is so loving and patient. If you disobey God, God still remains with you. I hope you know. In the chaos, God is still there with you. In the storm, God is still there. That's the meaning of I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. The I will never leave you nor forsake you means regardless of the circumstance or situation, I'm there with you. Only God can brag that way. Only God, let me not lie to you. Only God. Altogether. Yeah, that's why we Christians, we want to get married. What do? We tailor our response to our spouses by following what God is doing. Altogether. Right? Yeah. So if you look at it, Christ is coming back for the bride. Is that correct? Is it bride or brides? Bride. So if Christ is coming for the bride, it means that a man should marry one. Is it simple? You did not see that coming. I shook you. Yeah, by default, by God is calling all of us one, and that's what he's coming for, one. So by default, what is God expecting from the believer to marry? One. see, Angle. See about me. We need to pray for you, what you are saying. We need to, this week in our cell meeting, that's the prayer focus. God, you know what our brother is saying? He's saying, if we are plenty and we are one to God, it means a man can marry several and he's still one. What the didache? Believers. And you know what he just said now? Why she's joking? That's people's conviction. No, not your own. No, not your own. It can't be your conviction. Right? Yeah? So, you don't even get there yourself. I was talking about... I've seen something before then. That one, that's 5 minutes ago now. Eh? Okay. Yes, that's what I was saying. God is a loving God that never forsakes his bride. That's what reminded me of bride, really. So God is the only one that keeps his assurance and says, I will never leave you. So I was not saying that when we get married, we follow that template, right? We say to our wives, till death do us part. That means nothing. And you see, people that say till death do us part, in the real sense, that staying in that place is a death. Staying there is the death. They want to run. And some people will still explain it and say, that's the death that did us part. People are funny in this life. So the conviction we have about God on our inside is something that stays the same forever. So it means every time a believer disobeys the voice of God, you reap the repercussion, but God is still with you in the repercussion. I grew up learning things that if a man, I didn't know how I thought about that. You know, from primary five, I started preaching in my class. Primary five, I remember there was a lady, bless her heart, I saw her a couple years ago. Right, her name is Nguena. Right? I say, no, you can't be wearing trousers and wearing earring. Remember, wearing trousers and wearing earring. You know, somebody had not asked the question, if you go to a club, will the Spirit of God remain with you? I look at my answer, very innocent. I said, the Spirit of God will wait for you at the door. Right? And when you go into the club, when you finish dancing, because Spirit of God cannot be found in your, whatever you are doing there. Then when you now go outside of the door, the Spirit of God will be following you at the back, until you pray and open your heart again for him to come inside. And you open your heart, he says, oh, And you open your heart, it has to do with you pray, you fast, you cry, you ask God for mercy, you forgive, you ask God to forgive you of your trespasses and your omission of sin of commission and omission. Then God will now say, I forgive you. But you forgot that club is every Friday. Mercy Friday, Thursday, Spirit of God. Maybe it's even Thursday night that Spirit of God came back. Fine, if Spirit of God has not even settled down with you for 24 hours, he already jumped back to the club. Spirit of God will for you. No, the Spirit of God stays with the believer, even in the believer's mess. Are we together? Who suffers for the mess is the believer. You cannot blame God for giving you an instruction and you get the repercussion that the instruction was given. There are people, it should take you 3 days to get to a point. It takes you 30 years to get to the point. It really means that you would live with that impact on your life, live with that impact on your children, live with that impact for your generation more often than not. Praise God. So in the coming days, what will you do to yourself? You ensure that you give yourself more to God's word. Hallelujah. There's something that we associate with our Christian life that is not found in the light of God. It's called fear. Fear is not found in the light of God. The Bible says perfect love casts out what? Fear. Fear has no place. You see, when you're somebody who gets scared easily, then it means you're not paying attention to God's light. You know some people, they die in accidents before something touched them. You know what I'm trying to say? Some people out of fear, you are flying inside a plane, the plane just do, whoop, whoop. Your heart stops beating. That's somebody that has not paid attention to God's word. I remember 2012. Yeah, there was a plane crash that happened in Nigeria. Some of you know that. Yeah, that exact plane, right, that crashed on the Sunday. I was on that plane on the Saturday. That plane, it took us almost 2 hours before we could land. That was when I saw people with their hijab doing the mashup, but with hijab, people spoke, all kind of, everybody called on their God. Right? And for me, I think that was one of the first times I entered a plane. You know, that was probably my first time I went to a plane. So it was my second because I was returning back to Abuja. And in my mind, I was like, so is this the chaos that is always in this plane where people are flying and I say, we are going abroad. That we were going abroad before. I thought it was like a normal situation. But guess what? I sat with my dad. So I sat closer to the window. My dad sat at the middle. Then there's another person that was sitting beside. Yeah, that person, first of all, just grabbed my dad's clothes. Like, if you grab my daddy's clothes, which could you learn how to? Right? But one of the things I saw that day was a lot of calm in my dad. He just sat down and he was just muttering tongues. You know, there's sometimes you pray in tongues, it's fear that is doing you. It's not boldness, it's not confidence, it's fear. You know what I'm trying to say? You are going through a tough situation or something is about to happen to you. Now, is it good to pray that way? Yes. But you know, there's a thing called allowing fear to influence how you pray. People allow circumstances to push you in the corner before you start praying and be praying and be praying and be praying. You know, and he just sat there and he just looked at me and he said, my boy, this plane is going to land. Yeah, that's my pastor all my life. If my pastor said the plane is going to land, what am I supposed to do? It will land now. Right? One man put on his this thing, you know, white kaftan like this with red title chief man. He just pulled everywhere. I just started realizing everyone was smelling until everybody stood up. I started seeing people weed on their pants. People did all manners of things, you know. And the moment we landed, they started, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Even both Christian, Muslim, Hindu worshippers, everybody, thank you. That's when they know they are serving the God of miracle. But you see, get your life in a place such that in the middle of chaos, you can interpret the leading of the Spirit. You know, sometimes you can be in a car and some things are happening in the car. Yeah, but because you are led by the Spirit and can interpret it quickly, you just do something that stops the car instantly. I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, I was working in a place called Nigerian Communication Satellite, right? And my boss had reached out to me and said, we need to go and quickly pick something at the airport, right? So I sat in front, my boss sat behind, my bus driver sat in front. I was driving the car. And as soon as I stepped out of the complex, Spirit of God said, you are not supposed to be in that car. There's an accident that's about to happen. But you know, and my boss was a Muslim, right? And at that point, what can you do? You have to either compare, do you want to lose your job, right? Or you want to lose your life? Something must be lost one way or the other, right? And I said, I just took a deep breath. I just started talking tongues, right? When we're driving, got to the airport. And what I saw in the trance was that when we're coming, right? And when we're coming back, I spoke to the driver. He was a Muslim as well. I said, stay on this lane of the road, right? And I said, don't go beyond. I can't remember the exact number. I told him, I said, don't. So I gave him a code. When my boss was going to pick up, I said, when we're going back, maintain your left lane of the road and don't go beyond this. But I can't remember the exact number I told him. And what happened? We got into the car, we're going, and I was just muttering tongues, and I was just like, we should never see here. This was 2016. 2015. 2016, I was in, 2015, 2016. Right? And guess what happened? Right on the middle of the road, before we got to our last exit to take a U-turn and go back to our organization, an accident happened. I think you've heard me talk about this before, right? Where a car in front of us, a car behind us, a car beside us had an accident. How it didn't touch the car, I cannot explain. But imagine I wasn't sensitive enough to pray. Altogether, you know that kind of driving where you're driving, you are first targeting how was the first route of escape. How if something happened, how do you jump out? And when there's an accident, we had myself and my family. We're coming from Ekiti. Right, my dad was driving. Where were we driving to go to? Life, eh? See, sometimes life is not complex. Some of you that try to kill yourself because of football club. We're rushing to Lokoja to go and watch Nigerian match. They still beat us. This was 2007 or 2008. Before 2006, my dad was doing, you know, that kind of thing. Because when I was growing up, I felt like my dad could never have an accident. Just, you know, that kind of assurance you just have. Just, no, this man, nothing is there. My dad was driving manual, Kojo 406. Right, and immediately we're just seeing approaching Lokoja, something of minutes. We were trying to meet the start of the match. People that will still disappoint us. My dad was doing 150, 160 on Abuja. You know, Abuja Lokoja road has been repaired now, it's better. It was doing this Lokoja to Kaba, whatever Kaba to Lokoja, and it was just matching. Guess what happened? Just a little pothole he did not see. He saw it late. His first time was already on, and he tried to dodge it. And what happened? Find outside the side bush. Let me tell you what I did to my sister that day. So they were at the side of escape. They were at the side of escape. So their window, they could escape. That's when I knew my dad loved my mom. My dad did not care about me, you know, my siblings. He said, "Yemisi, are you okay? Yemisi." That's all I was just saying. That's my mom's name. "Yemisi, are you okay?" He never said, "Joshua, are you okay?" I was thinking, "Joshua, go. See, we'll give another Joshua." Who have you and their love, eh? You think they love you? All I was here until we came out of the car. "MC, are you okay?" "MC," I said, "which one is this anthem?" And me too, let me tell you what I did. I've changed though, but let me tell you what I did. My sister was at the door that could escape. My brother was in the middle. I was still at the other side. As soon as my sister was trying to do jeke, 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 I drag her down. She was just trying to say, "Why not?" She can never forget that story. I said, "Drag it," I said, "sit down here." I push, I jump myself aside. Now, when they ask me, what was I doing in my mind? I was saying, I wanted to come to safety so I can bring more people out of danger. And me, so that, you know, kind of thing, you're just selfish. That was selfishness. It felt me to allow my brother and my sister to go and give my life for them. I said, "No, come out. He's a man that's allowed to do this." Oh my goodness! This is what I cannot forget. But you see, all these, I'm very sure my dad had some promptings in his heart. I remember the moment, you know what he said to me? As soon as that thing happened, a call came in. Right? And I was saying he saw this happen. Right? But Nigeria fanatics, what do you call that? When you are very enthusiastic about your football club. Fanatica, you know, if you are fanatical and you want to be, you can miss out on the leading of the spirit. What did Chelsea play yesterday? 1-0. Who won? Ah, thank God, yeah. I couldn't watch it, so I saw that Chelsea had already scored the first goal. I think the 13th of all, I just was observing, and we dealt with Sister JT. You know, she probably, she does that, she's feeling like, she's not cold though, on the jacket. It's flogged, we flogged out. No worry, she will give us return. It have led, she's supposed to have been led by the Spirit to join the winning club. You see, God could have told her from that time. You have to still look up. Do it, Metari. Do it, Metari. What is her number? What is her number? You start looking at the table. Okay. The more you see. Well, if you were learned enough, you would have known that you don't join the club at Liverpool. People who their slogan is "We die once." Have you heard me say, "Okay, we leave the work." Sorry. Oh, we never walk alone. It is of God is in us. Wait. That's the vision of the incarnate. So what happened yesterday? You walk with God the Father. Nice one. I'll get you back. What am I saying? I hope you're getting the point. Right? Generally in life, if you allow your emotions to be attached to interpreting the Spirit of God, you might miss the point. You might miss the mark. You might be away, right, from what God is having you do part-time in your life. So please let this instruct your heart. I'll just close here for today, right? Ensure you guard your heart as much as possible, right? When you see yourself as somebody who is always fearful in making decisions, you are not paying enough attention to the light of God in you. Pay much more attention to the prompting of God in your heart. Reduce the volume of distractions around you. Yeah? Reduce the volume of distractions around you. Yeah? It's not everybody you listen to. It's not everybody you take advice from. It's not everybody you take counsel from. Ensure you put your heart and God's word is leading, because you can't stay with God's word, right, and end up in shame. You can't stay in God's word or stay with God's word and end up regretting. You can't stay with God's word and regret. It's not possible, right? Because God's word is in itself is sufficient enough to help us navigate through our days and life. Look at someone around.